Father, gracious, loving Father, thank you for pouring out your presence. We understand that we brought you with us, that this is just a building. But thank you for anointing. Thank you for the tangibleness that you allow us to feel, to touch you with our emotions as well as our faith. Make my tongue as the pen of the ready writer. Give those who are listening ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, greetings. If you've just joined us, you're part of the gathering this morning. This is Genesis Gathering. I'm Jeff. I facilitate conversation, and we're going to have a time of sharing some scriptures and some thoughts here about prayer, and then we'll be taking any questions or comments or input that you have this morning. Have you ever felt let down by prayer? How'd you navigate those feelings? Somebody go ahead and share a time when you questioned the value of prayer. Follow me, camera people. Have you ever been let down by prayer? How'd you navigate those feelings? And can you share a time when you questioned the value or effectiveness of prayer? Anybody?
Yeah, good. Keep me on as well.
I prayed for my brother-in-law. To get well, and he died, and it was hard. I ask a lot of questions to people. My mom was still alive then, and she helped me a lot because she knew how that was. She prayed for her dad not to die, and he died. And
do you feel like in all of that questioning, you've gotten something that's helped your faith, something that's helped your relationship with the Lord, or is it still a place of separation?
No separation. Just I felt that... you know, sometimes we pray and we don't know what we're praying for. And we pray for, I prayed for him to get well or to be healed.
Yeah.
And that was the total healing. He died.
Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah.
In his passing, he's certainly healed now.
And there wasn't any more pain. So I got my answer.
Anybody else? Now, this is not my topic this morning, but how many of you are okay with mystery? That some things are a mystery, and we don't know, we might never know, and it's okay not to know, and it doesn't mean God has left or is distant, or isn't answering prayer. I don't know why when I've prayed for people with serious disease, some of them are not healed. I don't know why I am going into surgery on Thursday for my own back, and I certainly have prayed. I'm certainly familiar with the Bible and scriptures and how to pray in faith, but I've not been healed supernaturally, divinely. And so I'm going to go see the surgeon. I'm okay with the mystery of prayer. Now, you were raising your hand back there. Okay? All right. Prayer is not an activity detached from the essence of living, from the reality of pain and brokenness, and the fact that sometimes prayer in our eyes and to our knowledge, limited, goes unanswered. Prayer is the very expression of our existence. Authentic prayer transcends our frequent, powerless requests. It moves beyond mere petitions and dialogues, surpassing even language itself. The most profound form of prayer is a quiet, wordless union, a relinquishment of all thoughts, including those of high spiritual nature, and offering ourselves in a state of shapeless stillness before the one who is already aware of everything. I would invite any and all of us who have experienced unanswered prayer to give yourself to that definition, to find yourself laying on your living room floor, kneeling in the basement, or going for a long walk, and saying nothing but, "God, I trust you." Wow, wasn't planning to go there, and thank you for those answers to those questions. We could probably stop the service right now and just pray. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, it's been our text, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. And then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. In other words, we have to achieve God's blessings. For religious minds, prayer is transactional. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So there's a few things we've established already in this series, that prayer is a relationship with God. He says that we're to call Him Father. Jesus says, call Him Father. That's a relationship. And then He uses the words room, door, secret, don't babble, to describe the nature of our prayer. I think all of those have to do with listening. And that's hard. I like to talk. I like you to know my idea of what I think is right and what's important, and I really like you to agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, well, then you might not be able to be my best friend. God is completely different. He's okay with silence. He really invites us into that room, shut the door, and just like say nothing. Because there's something about prayer that transcends words. In getting to know God. And I believe listening is a key. We're going to talk about contemplative prayer in a moment. Now, Jesus admits that God already knows what we have need of. And so the big elephant in the room, of course, is, so why ask? Why pray if God already knows? Last week, we talked about the idea of partnership. Because God has not predetermined everything in your life. He has not set the end in place. And here, your pastor and this church embraces something called open theism, which means that God has left things open to possibility. He has not settled them with finality. And He invites us into prayer to partner with Him to change things. Prayer changes things. And prayer changes me. And God leaves possibilities open to me so that I can partner with Him in that way and see heaven brought to earth. I really think that prayer, unanswered prayer, is a myth. Why do I say that? Because my idea of something not being answered is just that. That's my idea. God didn't answer it. Well, now, wait a minute. He didn't answer what you specifically asked, the way you asked it, at the time you asked for it to be done, so on and so forth, that long list. But that doesn't mean it's not answered. And keep in mind that there's a difference between contemplative prayer, prayer to know Him, to fellowship with Father, which is by far and away the most important reason to pray, and intercessory prayer, or prayers of petition, prayers of asking. And there are things that affect that mysterious combination of asking, petitioning, interceding, and receiving an answer. And that's why I've left that message to my wife. She's speaking next Sunday on all of that stuff. She's so capable. You see, really, our whole life is prayer. Prayer is an integral part of life. It's not isolated activity. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 17, "In Him we move and live and have our being." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul writes, "We have one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, in all." Look at somebody and just tell them, God's in you. I heard the pastor this morning say, and God's in that table, and God's in these chairs, and God's presence and reality is in the building and every person you meet and so forth. I'm not a tree hugger. But I can identify with that from the standpoint of what Paul wrote here. One God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, in all. Here's how Francois puts it in his translation called the Mirror Bible. Quote, "There is only one God. He remains the ultimate Father of the universe. We are because He is. He continues to hover over all. He infuses all. And He indwells everyone. I believe that. I don't act like it sometimes. I don't act like God indwells me. I do things that are stupid. Some people incite me to do things that are stupid. It's an inside joke. And this whole world that God asks us, invites us into, is called perichoresis. That's the Greek word. Perichoresis actually describes the Trinity. The word Trinity is never used in the Bible. The concept is there, but perichoresis is far more accurate. It is there in the Greek. Perichoresis. It's the mutual indwelling of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit without the loss of their individual personalities. Through Christ Jesus, humanity is adopted into the life of the Trinity, allowing for a union where individual distinctiveness is erased. Not erased, excuse me. Thank you. Camera person. When my daughter was young, I would get her and put her on my feet, and she'd hold my arms, and we'd dance to music. She didn't dance. I moved my feet. Hers were on top of mine. God invites you into a dance. The word perichoresis means divine dance. It's how Holy Spirit, Father, and Son all are mutually self-giving and loving and sacrificial and dance together. There's no hierarchical structure in God. That whole idea in that people have taken and applied to various scriptures, that God's the Father, and then there's the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit under Him, and then we're the body of Christ, and there's this authority structure, leads to such abuse There is no such structure in the Trinity. The Trinity is a divine circular dance, all of them at once self-giving, mutually loving and caring for one another. And he brings us into that. Every human being has been brought into perichoresis. Now, think of that. If he's already invited you into the divine dance, wouldn't it be smart to maybe be quiet sometimes in prayer and not say anything and just maybe listen and find out what the other three are doing and saying? Can you imagine the conversation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? All the great ideas they have, all the incredible wisdom they have. I mean, they've been around a while. Like they've seen everything. They know everything that's happening in the past, present, and even things that are going to happen in the future, although they don't predetermine it. And man, for me to come into that dance and like just enjoy it, I don't even have to work at it because I'm just standing on Father's feet and he's moving. You see, prayer takes us beyond the idolatry of God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 tell us, don't make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth. So what prayer does, it involves moving us beyond false images that we have of God, that we've created of what he must be like and how he has to answer prayer. Jeff, what are you talking about? Oh, how about this one? The transactional God. This is an image we have. The transactional God. This image portrays God as a cosmic vending machine where prayers and good deeds are inserted with the expectation of blessings or favors coming out the bottom. Bring. How about the judge God? Here, God is seen primarily as a stern judge who watches every action with a critical eye, ready to punish at the slightest fault. Here's one, the genie God. Similar to the transactional God, this image treats God as a genie who grants wishes when you pray the right way. Get on your knees, hold your hands such, quote the Bible just so, rub that lamp, and if you get it just right, man, that genie's going to come out of there and grant your prayer request. See, that's an idol. That's a false image we have of God. Prayer actually takes us into perichoresis where those kind of idols will be broken down. Here's another one, the distant God. This is the perception that views God as angry, distant. It teaches that there's a gulf fixed between a holy God and sinful man. This false image requires bloodletting and sacrifice in order to satisfy God's anger towards man, and a substitutionary sacrifice called Jesus in order to save man from God. How about the selectively loving God? This is the image falsely. This image falsely assumes God's love and grace are only for a select group based on religious affiliation, moral standing, and other criteria. I'm so glad that image of God has been pulled down in my life. Can I just testify for a minute? I hope I'm not going beyond. So this morning, here at St. John's, Pastor Wes has COVID. And so he had to bow out of both a very, very important seminar that he was supposed to facilitate yesterday, held here, a memorial service, excuse me, where several faith leaders were gathering to honor the life of Nex Benedict, the young non-binary, I'm trying to get all these terms right, non-binary Native American, who was beat up in a school restroom and died the next day because he was beat so severely. So this faith community came together to honor him. since Wes could not be here due to COVID, he had to turn it over to the person who was helping arrange things. And then that individual spoke this morning at the church. That individual is a transgender woman who is a bishop, just pastor in the Lutheran ELC church. She was delightful. She said some things I wish I had the wisdom to say that way. I would have hated her before. Because, of course, God is selective in his love. Prayer goes beyond words. Funny, isn't it? What's the first thing you think of when prayer gets mentioned or enjoined? Words. What am I going to say? That's the first thing. And yet, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I'm not sure that's the same as hitting your thumb with a hammer. You ever done that? The words that follow that, sometimes those, I mean, you might need to sanctify those, I don't know. Have you? Oh, I don't want to go there. But see, here's the problem with that idea of prayer. I got to know what to say, you know, I got to, prayer's words, I'm going to have to say something intelligent. Here's the problem with that. Because I'm not as eloquent, powerful, or as articulate as that person that can really pray. You ever felt that? You ever said that to yourself? Yes. I don't pray as often. How about that one? I don't think I've prayed in a couple of months. Well, by the old definition of prayer, that might be true, but the truth is you've been praying every day, because prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is something you live in his presence as you enjoy perichoresis. Now, Nina will tell you all the other old stuff, that if you want to do that kind of stuff, then she'll show you how to do it. I'm telling you the new way that Jesus taught. I'm just having fun. No, that's right. Nina needs a hug. No, we had it out yesterday. I was walking the dogs. I had my earbuds in. I called her on the phone. I said, you know, you're teaching next Sunday. And then we went at it. I mean, we were. So we've got all this worked out. So how about this one? I don't come away with profound revelations of Scripture when I pray. Okay. Or this one. And I've come to really challenge this because, number one, identify myself in it as the kind of thing I used to myself do. And so it really grates against me now. When somebody says, God told me, God said, it just makes me uncomfortable. Because now to me, and I had my years of doing that, it seems pretentious and grandiose. It's just not necessary. And the truth is, you're as close to God as I am. The truth is, you've been praying as much as I have been praying. And Nina will help us next week with the rest of some of those particulars of how prayer works. I'm really building it up. You need to be here. Yeah. I'm zeroing in on something called contemplative prayer. What do I mean? Beyond the mind, laying aside all thought. And there's a transfiguring that takes place in our inner being. So that it's not just ideas about God. There's something supernatural that transfigures within us. This is why I love communion, the body and the blood. Some people take that and it's just rote. They just do it. I think there's something transfiguring in me when I do that, when I receive communion. Consider this. Now, everything I read here won't be up there, but in fact, more will be up there than I read, because I've chosen to eliminate a few things for sake of time. 6 days later, this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he led them up to a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Verse 5. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So, Jesus is being transfigured. The power, presence, and glory and graciousness of God is right before them. And what's he want to do? He throws back to the old covenant and wants to build tents to put God in. Because they still don't understand God's house is here. God didn't want to live in a building. He gave up living in tents a long time ago. He's personally inside of me in perichoresis, a divine dance. Should we put up some tents, Lord, for all these guys? Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, only Jesus. God would that that was our testimony when we pray. I didn't get any new understandings about a Bible verse. I didn't really say anything eloquent. I'm not sure I talked the whole time, but man, when I came out of my closet and shut the door, I know this. I saw Jesus. I was with Jesus. It goes beyond words. Prayer is more about my need to build a deeper trust than it is about getting God to do something or about acquisition. Therefore, silence becomes communion. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. True prayer requires us to quiet our mind and simply be in God's presence. Watch this. Silence is not a void, but a profound and all-encompassing acknowledgement of presence. His presence. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when you read that context, you'll find God was in the gentle whisper. Psalm 62, verse 1, for God alone my soul waits. For God alone my soul waits. From him comes my salvation. I think unanswered prayer's a myth. I think your prayers are being answered every time you go into that room and close the door. You can do that driving your car. My favorite is walking the dogs. I hear God all the time walking down to the park. Two little guys in front of me, running and trotting and smelling and doing all their thing, and I'm in prayer. I'm in presence, and God is talking to me. And actually, some of the most profound things that I've ever heard and brought into my outlines and shared with you have come while I was walking the dogs. I think unanswered prayer is a myth, because God is always answering you. He's always speaking to us. I know it might not be what we want to hear. I know it might not happen just the way we asked it. But I'm okay with mystery, because I covet presence more than anything else. Jeff, would you get that second worship song ready and cue it? What'd you hear?